Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a completely terrific day today. Hope you guys had a blessed, safe, awesome weekend. Wanted to give you guys an update on, I told you over the weekend and on Friday on the Hagman Show, we had the HR5 coupon active. We actually had that max out of usages over the weekend, so I went ahead and extended that coupon for all of our listeners and our Hagman listeners, because a few people had sent me emails and said that coupon was not working currently. It had basically maxed out. So I want to give everybody a heads up on that. And again, thank you for the support, and thank you again for your patience. We do try our best here at Health Masters to make sure we don't have any technical glitches, but they can happen sometimes. So again, thank you for your patience with that, and thank you for your support. And Dad, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. This is the day the Lord hath made. It's 64 degrees here in North Carolina. Clear blue skies, no chemtrails. And I mean, when there's no chemtrails and clear blue skies, I guess they're so busy flooding the other parts of the country that they have left us alone. So it's fun. But guys, I want to thank you, like Austin said just a second ago, for your support. I mean, you guys are amazing to me. I mean, you know, I mean, how many radio shows do you actually have that people call up and send you emails and send you texts and say, can you please put a donate page on your website? I mean, honestly, really, guys, thank you. I mean, this just blows my mind that you guys are that supportive, and I just thank you for that, because it really means so much to me that you guys realize that we're out here. In fact, I just had a conversation via text and via email with Jeff Rentz, and I'll be on his show tomorrow night, and I'll be talking about the Third Temple in detail and what happened with all of the with the Zionism and the Third Temple and how they've infiltrated Protestant religions and all the stuff. We're going to be covering that in detail tomorrow night on Jeff Rentz's show. And I was telling him, I said, you know, there are very few of us left in alt media that know the truth and are willing to talk about it. And I didn't say there weren't a bunch of them who know the truth. And I said a few that were who knew what was going on. And basically, what we have here, guys, and let me just kind of give you a heads up on tomorrow's show. We are being controlled by a death cult. You think, well, death cult? Yeah, the death cult is the group that took down Building 7. It's the Building 7 clowns. The problem is they're really not clowns. These guys are very, very well organized. And they're willing to do anything they can to bring in their Antichrist. And we're being controlled by that group. The entire planet is in the grip of a death cult. They're willing. See, the biggest problem they've got are the Christians. And they had to find a way to neuter the Christians, to emasculate the Christians, to castrate the Christians. Let's be direct about it. And they had to find a way to get in there and make Christians not be vocal and not be ready to go out and say, hey, I'm not going to put up with this, and be strong. So they came up with the rapture theology, and that, you know, which basically means that, you know, that means Christians don't have to worry about what happens in the end times, because we're going to go out on the first load and we're going to watch what happens on the planet with the Antichrist from the heavenly grandstands, and we can clap and applaud for the people that make it and don't make it. I mean, this is the nonsense. But they had to get the Christian church out of the mix. They had to get Christians and real Christian men and real Christian pastors who don't wear panties and pansies in the pulpit. They had to find a way to get these guys out of the mix, out of the fray. And I'm going to go into detail tomorrow night on Jeff's show to do that and talk about how they did all of this. But guys, these guys are all about bringing in, this is Satanism is what it is. They're all about bringing in their Antichrist. And the thing they don't get is a whole bunch of people are going to die all over the planet from this, and they don't care. And the Christians are going to be just basically, you know, hoodwinked. They're going to be blindsided. They're not going to see it coming. They're going to be sitting there with their mouth open going, what the heck, man? We're supposed to be raptured. Yeah, about that. And, you know, and that's why, you know, I have got to give credit to a lot of theologians who didn't buy into the Darby teaching and the Scofield teaching. And they said, okay, wait a minute. You know, the Bible's not clear on this. It could be a mid-trib rapture. It could be a post-trib rapture. Why does it say if this time was not cut short, even the elect would not survive? Why does it say that only a remnant will survive, as if going through the fire? I mean, why is it saying all of this stuff and warning us about the future and the end times to come? It's because it's letting us know. And then Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. In the days of Noah, when you go back to chapter 6, I also talked about this so eloquently last week. He said, every thought of every man was evil all of the time. I mean, think about the thing with Lot. You know, in Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, the angels show up. Apparently, they were good-looking guys, and the entire town comes to rape them. I mean, all the guys come to sodomize them. I mean, All of them. It says all of them. Every single one. Now that's pretty sick. And see, every thought of every man's evil all the time. And the only way they can do that is they've got to find a way to do mind control on us. There's no other way. They've got to find a way to tie us into a network where Lucifer can become omnipresent. And like Austin said last week, download all kinds of filth and trash into our brains. I mean, Elon Musk now is showing a hood that goes over a person's head, drills a bunch of holes, puts a bunch of microfibers into the brain, and basically puts a little silicon chip into the brain under the scalp so you can't see it, so you can download all of this information directly into your brain. Yes, guys, that's how far advanced this is. And he says the technology is currently active. And guys, this is what they're showing us. It gets a lot deeper than this. It goes into smart dust and tying it directly into our electrical systems in our body, you know, with nanocrystals. You know, they're basically silicon-based nanocrystals that tie into your electrical system, are powered by your electricity in your body that your central nervous system produces, and they send out signals, and they are a read-write unit back into your system. That's what the technology really is. But they don't talk about that. We talk about it on that show. We talk about this and that on this, our show, but they don't talk about that. They tell you, oh, we have the brain interface. No, the brain interface with the wires, that's technology from the 50s and the 60s. I mean, 60, 70 years ago, they used to do that with cattle, with bulls in a ring, you know, like the matador. And they could have a bull charging, and they had a wire in a certain part of his brain, and they could put a certain signal through that wire with a little radio receiver, which is what Elon Musk is talking about. And what would happen, that bull would stop charging, lay down, and take a nap. Just take a nap and go to sleep right there in the middle of the ring. It no longer wanted to charge the matador with the red cape. It just wanted to take a nap. That's the technology from the 50s or the 60s. Then they found in the 70s and the 80s, they no longer needed the wire in the bull's brain. They could hit it with a certain frequency, a certain electrical impulse, and the bull would still lay down and take a nap. And now they're trying to tell us that they're back to wires in the brain. Oh, no. We're way past wires in the brain. That's the technology they're letting you have. And I talked about this last week with the third basically takeover of the United States government. The first one was with the Federal Reserve System. The second one was with Roswell. And the third now is this group of people, these Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian devil worshippers who have taken this technology from the Roswell space incident, and they've formed a breakaway civilization, and they're doing everything they possibly can to control the population of the planet and to kill a bunch of us. It kind of sounds like the Book of Revelation, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like the apocalypse. That's where they're headed with this thing. They've done it before. They did it before the pyramids. They did it before, you know, in the times of Noah. And they're doing it again. That's why I tell you guys, there won't be a nuclear war. If you notice, I don't really post stuff very, very rarely about nuclear armament or nuclear war or the Russians attacking us or the Chinese attacking us with nuclear weapons. And people say, why don't you post about that? I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen. Because there's no way they're going to come in and destroy their own infrastructure. They're putting up 25,000 satellites as we speak. As we speak, they're putting up 25,000 satellites to blanket us in 5G and 6G. Right now, as we're basically doing our show. This is what they're doing. And remember, they can take and hit you with a blue light frequency and cause this more jump stuff they've seemed to spread everywhere, you know, to start growing in your body. But remember, the only way the Morgellons is really effective if you have heavy metal contamination, a lot of aluminum and mercury in your body. If you don't have that, you don't really seem to have a problem with the Morgellons. But guess what? Every time you get an immunization or a vaccine, like with a flu shot, you get more and more aluminum injected in, more and more mercury injected in. And so they're heavy metals that they're using in order to use as conductors in the body. Remember, this is what the whole purpose of the geoengineering is to bring a plasma-type environment down into the lower atmosphere in order to allow their electronics and their 5G to cook up with you more efficiently. Just this morning, I was on with ManCow in Chicago, one of the top stations up there as far as listenership, and we talked about 5G being a weapon system from DARPA. Now, mind you, it was a very short little segment because you get all these big stations. There's not a lot of time because there's so many commercial breaks. But the reality is that we talked about it being a weapon system. And this is what it's all going to be tied in together with. And this is what I'm going to talk about tomorrow night on Jeff Rentz's show. I'm going to go into detail. I'm going to take it all the way back into the Dark Ages and all the way up to today's time about who these people are. Remember, this whole system came back alive in 1666 with Sabbatai Zevi. And he basically was the Antichrist, he was the Jewish Messiah. They called himself the false Messiah. And he's the one who brought in this nastiness as far as turning everything upside down. Again, it's been here before. He just brought it back up again. Then he dies, before he dies, he converts to Islam, which I thought was ironic. But before he converts to Islam, he dies. He dies before he converts. He converts to Islam, and then he dies. And then what ends up happening is Jacob Frank says he's the reincarnation of the patriarch Jacob, and also Sabbatai Zevi, and he's the Antichrist, and he's the one who brought this whole teaching, this whole Illuminati thing, the Weissenhaupt, and they're the ones who brought it all back up again. And see, and remember, the Bible, this is the synagogue of Satan that's doing this. It's very clear in the book of Revelations. It says these are Jews. These are people who are not Jews, but they claim to be Jews. Why? Because they're using the Jewish people just like they're using the Christian people, and they're hiding behind the anti-Semitism banner because they claim to be Jews, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. So that if you say anything about what they're doing or who they're acting like or what they're being, you're an anti-Semite. Oh my God, he's an anti-Semite. What does that even mean? That, you know, you're anti-Arab, because that's the Semitic blood. It's primarily Arab blood in the Middle East. I mean, so you're anti-Arab. I'm not anti-Arab. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm telling you guys, there's a group of people out there, they consider Lucifer to be their God, and they want to use Lucifer and connect to him through a D-Wave computer into his dimension and tie all of us into a smart grid where he can become omnipresent via that machine and control all of our thoughts all of the time. And this is what I'm going to into detail with tomorrow night on Jeff's show. But guys, it's really, really important that we keep eyes on this ball, because they're doing. I mean, look at the sin in our life right now. This is an article from LifeNews.com, and it says Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga and 140 top musicians sign a statement celebrating abortion and Planned Parenthood. You know, when Lady Gaga came out with that movie, A Star Is Born, last year, the beginning of this year, I can't remember anymore, I refused to go see it. I refused to see Lady Gaga. I refused to pay and support her. And see, I'm real funny. I won't support George Clooney. I won't go to his movies. I won't go to Brad Pitt's movies anymore. I won't go to I won't see something that Lady Gaga has done. I won't pay to support any of that stuff, because, guys, if we don't vote with our pocketbook, we're never going to get these people's attention. Oh, by the way, I watched the new Rambo movie yesterday. Absolutely horrible. Do not see the new Rambo movie. I'm telling you guys, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. No plot development, gaping holes in the plot, just absolutely just ridiculous, horrible violence. I mean, it could have been a good movie if they would have talked more about the Mexican drug cartels and the human trafficking and these girls being sold into prostitution and being stolen and put into prostitution. They could have made it a really good movie and actually had a theme behind it. Because, you know, the Rambo movies, the first one was about, you know, how the mistreatment of the vets was continuing in the United States. The second one was about, you know, the missing POWs. The third one was more about the Afghanistan war. The fourth one was about the Burma war and what was going on over in, you know, in Southeast Asia. And the fifth one should have been about human trafficking. But what was interesting, I was talking to Austin about this last night. You know, Stanley Kubrick, when he did the movie Eyes Wide Shut with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, he had an additional 15 minutes in that movie that he wanted left in. And he was going to go into the full detail about who and what these people were and what they did with their human sacrifice. Or so the story goes, because we don't really know. We never saw the 15 minutes. And because he had so much power in Hollywood and he used to use so much dirt on these people, he said, no, we're not editing it. We're going to put it out like this. And suddenly he dies. He dies before the release of the movie. And they take the 15 minutes out. And you say, Terry, you tell me they killed him? I'm not saying that. I'm saying he died and they took it out of the movie. Well, it seems like he died kind of mysteriously, but he still died. And see, this is what's weird about this. I mean, was this Rambo movie really too direct about human trafficking? Was it because of what happened with Jeffrey Epstein and all these girls that he trafficked and all these girls he turned into basically whores? I mean, is this what happened? Yeah, this is really, really weird what's going on now with how they censor stuff. In addition to that, we got to look at a few other things too. You know, Hollywood is atavistic. Its hatred towards Jesus Christ is unbelievable. I mean, they hate Christ, and they don't want to promote anything good as far as from Hollywood. They don't want to do this. Everything's got a twist to it. Like, you know, you got Disney coming in and supporting abortion and, you know, going against the heartbeat law, you know, in Georgia. That's why I wouldn't watch Lion King. I mean, all of these things that we need to think through before we support these guys with our money. I mean, if you get up and let me ask you guys a question. Let's say you go to church, all right, and you have a sermon, guy comes into a sermon, and the pastor doesn't know this guy. This guy's a clown. And he gets up and he starts promoting Satanism, okay? He starts talking about, you know, Lucifer and how great Lucifer is and all this other kind of crazy nonsense. And all of a sudden, you guys are sitting through the sermon and you're going, this guy's Looney Tunes. And suddenly they say, okay, we're going to take up an offering for so-and-so, for this pastor who just talked about all this. You're going to be like, we're not giving him anything. What are you, nuts? We're going to give him nothing. We wouldn't even run out of the church. what do you think you're doing when you go see movies like Lion King supporting Disney, which promotes abortion, or buy Lady Gaga songs, or Ariana Grande songs? What are you doing? You're doing exactly what you said you wouldn't do in that church. You're supporting these guys. And that's why it's so, so important that we all stay together, and we all stay together on the same page, Austin. And we need to understand that, guys, if we don't do what we say we're going to do, if we don't follow through the way we say we're going to follow through, if we don't stand against this evil in our lives and everything else that's going on around us, guys, it's just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, it's going to be bad. It does. I mean, the book of Revelation is not happy, happy. But the reality is, I personally believe through prayer and through standing on God's word that we have the ability to slow this mess down, at least for our children or maybe our children's children. But guys, the people in the Middle East right now that are running the planet, that group, that Building 7 group, they're doing everything they possibly can to bring in the book of Revelation and to bring in their Antichrist and rebuild that third temple, because they believe they have to do that before they can basically, you know, anoint him king of the world. And we need to be aware of what's going on. And if we're not, we're going to fall asleep at the wheel. And that's no good for anybody. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Wow, yeah, you hit a lot of stuff right there. I mean, and so to address a couple things, you know, that I want to kind of touch base on as well. The first thing, yeah, being the Rambo movie, Lana and I actually went and saw that yesterday as well, ironically enough, down here in Florida. And I had a discussion with Dad last night on it because I felt very similar to him. And the fact that it was very troubling to see the movie was set up so well to really address and expand on the human trafficking and sex trafficking and smuggling that's down in Mexico and comes into the United States and also pulls girls out of the United States into Mexico. And so they had a perfect opportunity. I mean, they even had the characters lined up to elaborate even further and have some serious dialogue and address, you know, hey, this is how many girls are getting abducted down here. We need to stop this aspect of it. This is how it needs to be addressed. These guys are some of the main individuals down here doing this. This is what we need to do. And they didn't have any of that. They showed a little bit of the brutality of the sex trafficking, but they really didn't add in the dialogue afterwards of discussing what was going on, why it was so bad, what we could do to change it, and really exposing it more. And as I told Dad, I said the same thing I kind of thought of from the beginning, even during the movie, is I kind of felt like they had stuff in there that wasn't supposed to get released, and they pulled it out because the movie was absurdly quick. It wasn't, most Rambo movies are fairly long. I mean, they're not usually, I mean, I think this movie was like 80 minutes or something. I mean, it was over. It was boom, it was done. And I was like, and it just had these gaping sections where it appeared they almost cut sections out of it because they didn't want to address it or they were told not to address it. I don't know. But like Dad said, everything that was going on with Epstein right now, they may have, you know, Hollywood may have pulled a plug on it and said, listen, this goes too much into this. We don't want this stuff getting, because remember when you started hearing about all the sex trafficking and the rape stuff in Hollywood, and then all of a sudden they switched the narrative real fast, and then they came out to, well, you know, they were, you know, 21-year-old girls that, you know, with Goldstein or Goldblum or all these other weirdo guys were involved in it. They were consenting and they didn't get raped, but, you know, they basically were, you know, slightly pushed into that, and they changed the whole narrative to change it more of, well, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal, but, you know, it just needs to be talked about. They didn't discuss the child trafficking and the stuff that, you know, Epstein was involved in. And I can guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, if he was involved as many elite individuals as he allegedly was, especially on the manifest, I can guarantee you he was involved in all sorts of Hollywood individuals as well. I mean, even Bill Gates flew on his plane multiple times. So, I mean, let's not pretend that this guy didn't know just about everybody in the upper areas as far as that were the big globalists, including Hollywood. So yeah, the movie really, really, really missed its mark to really put that as the central theme of the film, to expose what's going on and try to make an example and also show people the graphic detail of what's happening, but also too how we can prevent it or how we can expose it. So missed the mark on that. Also too, Dad, you said one thing about the technology with the frequency they have is far advanced. They don't need these microchips with these neurotransmitters that Elon Musk. The one thing that I have read and that I keep reading about this whole aspect with these implants that they're going to use is to keep people consistently tied in to your phone system all the time. That ties into the same thing with the 6G that I've gone to in detail about. I'll have to pull some of my research and some of the articles I've had and go into detail with 6G again. It's been about almost a year since I talked about it. I've had a lot of people still emailing me. This is where it's going to head into in the future. The frequency and the 5G transmitters, they are effective as weapon systems. They are effective as frequency changers, but the still extent of it, you can still escape some of that. You can still get away from some of that. Their goal is to get these chips, these 6G chips with these microchip Neuralink interfaces so that they themselves will connect to that 5G and then 6G system in the future, and there will be no way to rid it. It doesn't matter if you go into a metal building. It doesn't matter if you go behind a block wall. It doesn't matter if you do anything to try to get away from it. These things are going to be connected eventually to satellite systems, and they will go in and they will be able to download and transmit allegedly all this latest, greatest technology, this new information, the smartest stuff. You can learn new languages. It's supposed to be latest and greatest stuff. We've talked about it. However, the issue of it is they're also going to be able to download anything they want to that you don't consent to, and that's the biggest problem that you're going to run into. That you will not control the information that will be downloaded into it. Sure, they'll tell you, oh, you can control this, you can control that, you can download this, but at the end of the day, we already know that we can't even control our own doggone privacy. We can't even keep every single third-party vendor from trying to extract every single inch of information out of us, from us, about us, everything we do, everywhere we go, every person we talk to, everything we look at online. We can't even control our own privacy. So what do you possibly think you're going to be able to do to control your own thoughts once they download a Neuralink interface into your brain? That's just my take on it. And to tie it in even more, Zero Hedge put out a really interesting article today from basically a Freedom of Information lawsuit that's finally been partially opened up, and showing us how the FBI is far beyond spying on the American population, beyond what we could even understand. And I don't mean search warrants. I don't mean even wiretaps. I mean full-blown disclosure from every single agency, phone company, bank. Well, I'll just read it to you. You guys understand what's going on here. Secret subpoenas issued by the FBI for personal data have now been shown to go deeper than ever thought before, according to new documents obtained by the Freedom of Information Act that were released last week. The agency says the sweeping requests are crucial to counterterrorism efforts. However, the new records reveal the FBI requests go far beyond any Silicon Valley, you know, social credit score or social media aspects, and digs into banks, credit agencies, cell phone carriers, even universities, according to the report. The demands can scoop up a variety of information, including usernames, locations, IP addresses, records of every single purchase on every credit card statement. They don't require a judge's approval and usually come with a full gag order, leaving them shrouded in secrecy. Fewer than 20 entities, most of them tech companies, have even revealed they've received these subpoenas known as national security letters. This is a pretty potent authority for the government, said University of Texas law professor. The question is, do we have a right to know when the government is collecting every piece of information on us? I answer that question and say, yes, we do. And we should have the ability to stop it, but we don't. According to the documents, which contain information covering only 750 subpoenas, which represented a small fraction of over 500,000 of them issued since 2001, credit agencies, Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, Western Union, Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Chase Bank, AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, Yahoo, Google, Microsoft are just to name a few of of the key heavy hitters that have gotten subpoenas every single year for the last 20 years. Department guidelines say the gag orders must be evaluated every 3 years after the investigation starts, but federal judge noted there's several loopholes that suggest a huge swath of the gag orders are never revealed. Now, what they're referring to in this, and I pulled up the Freedom of Information Act letters of the actual national security letters they gave a lot of these companies, because there's a bunch of them. You can look at them online. And so not only does the FBI contact such as Western Union or AT&T, and they go on right here, and I'll read you the front face of it here. It says, pursuant to the Title 12 United States Code Section 3414 of the Right to Financial Privacy Act, the FBI has now issued a national security letter to AT&T. Now, they have these letters for everybody. I've looked up. There's like 70 of them on here of different companies. Has issued the national security letter to AT&T. This national security letter included a non-disclosure requirement that prohibited you, any officer, any employee, or any agent of your company from disclosing at any time that this letter and that the FBI had sought or obtained access to any information other than the, where is it, other than to comply with a letter of an attorney to obtain legal advice or legal assistance with respect to this letter. Meaning, when they send this letter out to these companies, they literally give them a full-blown gag order across the entire company. They're not allowed to talk about it. They're not allowed to disclose it for 3 years. They're not allowed to discuss it with anybody outside of the company. Nothing. So not only does the FBI come in and demand everything from IP addresses to tracking information to usernames to locations to records of purchase to everything that they could possibly ask for, with, by the way, without a judge signing off on it. This is all National Defense Security Authorization Act stuff here. They then turn in, when they request all that, they force that company to have a gag order issued on them that they cannot even talk about the fact that the FBI is asking for that information. Now, if anybody else doesn't see a serious problem with that, I don't know what else to tell you. And what's crazy about this is these national security letters were always required to show specific and articulable facts that the target of such a letter was an agent of a foreign power. Well, over the last 20 years now, ever since 2001, the criteria has been eroded to target simple needing to be, and I quote, relevant to a terrorism, counterterrorism, or leak investigation. Not even meaning they're an agent of a foreign company or a foreign government. It simply just has to mean that they're relevant to an investigation that encompasses any type of leak, counterterrorism, or terrorism, which, as you guys know now, the term terrorism is pretty much synonymous with, you know, cookies and cream or Oreos. It's a joke. I mean, it means anything. They can designate anything a terrorist investigation now at any point in time for any reason, and there's no backlash. So I just found this to be very interesting when I really dug this up and started looking at this, it, showing the level of what the FBI actually has the ability to do now and how much they are spying on the American population all the time, and nobody even knows about it. So definitely some interesting stuff right now. Very, very interesting. And this is why I wanted to kind of go into detail of it. When everybody starts hearing about these links, these neural links, and people, oh, well, you know, you're going to be able to control what they're connected to. You're going to be able to control what they download. Dude, we can't even control our own privacy. We can't even control our privacy of where we go. If you can't even control one of the smallest aspects of your privacy of where you travel, you can't even keep where you go private. What possibly makes you think you're going to be able to keep a neural link that's implanted into your skull private and controlled from having every single sick, demented, sadistic ideology transmitted into your brain all the time until you start to believe it? That's at least my take on it, Deb.
You know, it's all part of the MKUltra program. It's all basically just continuation of that. That's what this is. This is just, they've developed the technology, you know, in the concentration camps, and this is what they did. This is some sick stuff that these German scientists did in the concentration camps with the mind control experiments, and all this stuff was then transmitted right from the German concentration camps right into the United States, and they started the MKUltra program in the U.S. and they didn't bother to change the initial of K to a C. With mind control in English would be an M mind control M C C O N T R O L, and control is spelled in German with a K. I mean, it's just some crazy stuff. And we need to understand that these guys, they've received outside interdimensional, you know, guidance with this. In fact, Dave Hodges says that his father talked to the German Nazi rocket scientists they brought into the United States, and they said they received their downloads from extraterrestrials, ETs. In our vernacular, that would be fallen angels and demons and who knows what else. And this is the whole thing. I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, and it's so funny to me, Austin. You know, I was listening to David Icke on the Jeff French show last week. Excellent interview, by the way. You guys need to listen to it. In fact, I posted it on our website. And what's interesting about it, you know, David Icke's not a Christian. But all you have to do is change a few words when he says, like, reptilian alien. When he says something like that, you just have to change fallen angel into that slot, because he believes in the demons and the demonic stuff. He believes in the Satanism. He may have come a little bit further around now. And the crazy thing about it, all of this is that, you know, the New Agers, a lot of them believe in this stuff, but they just haven't put the links together as far as with Jesus Christ being a real entity, a real being who came here to stop this through the blood. They don't get that. And so they just need one little notch of knowledge that they need to accept and realize that this thing can be corrected, prevented, and even stopped or slowed down through the blood of the Lamb. But yet, we as Christians, you know, we have taken, most of these mainstream denominations have taken songs about the blood out of the hymnals, just taken it out. Why would that happen? Well, because we've been infiltrated, just like the Catholic Church. I was speaking to a friend of mine, Tom, yesterday, and I said to him, I said, look, I said, here's the thing. I said, the Catholic Church held everything together until they got corrupt. You know, 1300, 1400, 1500 AD, they started selling indulgences and all the other things they did. Then Martin Luther came in and said, let's we got to fix this. We got to take it back to the basics. We need to fix Christianity. We need to fix it. We need to realize that these TV evangelists that we watch, who basically have these incredibly opulent lifestyles, and there's nothing wrong with being blessed, but you don't need 26 mansions and 14 Rolls Royces and 6 or 7 or 8 large jets for your ministry. It's just not something you don't need. You know, the money should be spent as a conduit to help churches pay off their debts and their mortgages, etc., which is what George Soros is doing. George Soros, through the Rothschild banking cartel, is going to churches now, Protestant churches, Christian churches, and paying off their mortgages and giving them huge amounts of cash if they do and preach what he tells them to preach. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, how crazy is that? But that's what's going on. So we need to understand that Austin's exactly right. Our privacy, because of the Patriot Act, because of the National Defense Authorization Act, because of 9/11 is what it is. That was the trigger. That was what pulled it. That's what got this Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan, people who took down Building 7 group, the power they needed to have to disrupt the Constitution of the United States. It was the trigger. Need to always understand that. Building 7 and 9/11 was George Bush's little foray into complete and total control by the deep state to allow them to come in and spy on us with every single thing and every single electronic availability they have to just come in and just find out everything we do, find out what you look at online, find out where you go, find out what you think. And you say, well, they don't know what I think. Sure they do. You got likes and dislikes on Facebook, don't you? Yeah, there you go. You get about 400 or 500 of those little likes and dislikes. They know exactly how you think. They know if you're a patriot. They know if you're a communist. They know if you're a Satanist. They know if you're a Christian. They know everything by your likes and dislikes, because it's part of an algorithm plot of points on a graph to show them what you believe. That's what they've done to us. They put us into an algorithm, and they basically control us now through an AI that they're going to put into this system with the D-Wave computer to control what's going out over the internet. And what we're doing here and what we're seeing is censorship. You know, I had somebody call me up the other day, and they said, you know, a few years ago I could put your name in, Ted, and there were literally hundreds of videos of you talking about this stuff online. Now they're gone. I can't find them anymore. They're gone, and they don't exist anymore. Yes, and this is censorship on a grand scale. And once they tie AI into this and they tell AI what to do, of course, they think they're going to tell AI what to do. This is the lunacy of it all, Austin. They think that they're going to tie AI into a D-Wave computer, and the D-Wave computer is going to be tied interdimensionally into some entity, and they're going to tell it what to do. I got newsflash for you clowns, if you're listening. You're not going to tell it what to do. It's going to tell you what to do. Okay? This is Lucifer. Yeah, heads up, newsflash. That's right. All of a sudden you think, well, the Terminator won't do that to us. Okay, well, that's just great. You guys are loony. It's going to happen. And the problem is, you think you're going to control this thing once you give it control over all of our military and all of our commands and all of our infrastructure. And over our electrical power grids. Yeah, there's your big one. There's your big one. Well, the people over in this area, they're getting a little bit too rambunctious, so we're going to shut their power off for about a month, and let's see how many of them can make it through this. You say, well, they wouldn't do that. Okay. Why don't we go look at Puerto Rico as a beta test? Yeah. How about the Bahamas right now when the stench is so bad that the cops won't even go into certain areas anymore because of the over 1,000 bodies that are still missing and the smell is so bad they can't even go into those areas with no power? Yeah. How about we just look at some of that? Yeah, that's just, we need to realize that. But let's do a nutrition article and get off this topic. Healing with iodine. This is so important. This is essential for heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. I mean, we've known for hundreds of years that iodine was a critical nutrient. But what we didn't understand is how it basically exhibits activity against bacteria, molds, yeast, protozoa, and many other viruses, and how it's a critical part of the immune system. The fungus strain of kind of known as Candida. Basically, it's really good against Candida along with black seed oil. And viral infections have always had doctors scrambling because they've forgotten how effective iodine is. Viruses can be wiped out by iodine, 12.5 milligrams every single day. Plus, think about this. They're never going to drop a nuclear bomb on us and destroy their infrastructure. But guys, they can release a dirty bomb and release a bunch of radiation. They can do that. They can do that and not destroy infrastructure and kill people with radiation. That's very, very easy to do. And we need to also realize how important it is for metabolism and how it is so important for the production of hormones and how it's unbelievably important for the immune system. I mean, the body's ability to resist infection and disease is hindered by long-term iodine deficiency. Poor immune system response is directly tied with impaired thyroid function. A deficiency in iodine can greatly affect the immune system because low levels of iodine leads to problem with the thyroid gland. Iodine purifies water. Does the same thing in the bloodstream. Iodine purifies the complete bloodstream of the body, something the thyroid does every 17 minutes. Meaning sufficient levels of iodine, especially in children, keep the body free of pathogens, and you don't have to have vaccines. I mean, every 17 minutes, the iodine from the thyroid cleanses the body, but we don't have iodine. Iodine's true role is making up as much as one half of the body's immune system has yet to be understood by doctors. Iodine is accumulated during phagocytosis, which is the white blood cells, the process of engulfing and ingesting bacteria and other foreign bodies. The iodine is attached to the bacteria and to proteins, creating iodoproteins, including mitotestosterone. Sometimes the thyroid hormones are utilized as a source of iodine. See, this is so important we understand that iodine prevents heart disease. It helps to eliminate toxic halogens from the body. And we're talking about things now like chlorine and fluorine. It helps to support cell growth and cell destruction and getting rid of these different cells as far as the immune system. It activates hormone receptors and helps prevent certain types of cancer. It helps protect adenosine triphosphate function, enhances ATP production. Remember, adenosine triphosphate, you know, the Krebs cycle, the citric acid cycle of the cell through the mitochondria is what keeps us alive. And that's why we all die. We stop making ATP. It helps to protect that. Iodine prevents fibrocystic breast disease. Iodine helps decrease insulin needs in diabetics. It helps support protein synthesis. It's a global threat. It destroys pathogens, molds, fungi, parasites, malaria. If iodine is needed with the use of a cordless phone because cell phones now smart meters prevent hypothyroidism. Iodine supports pregnancy. Iodine regulates estrogen. Iodine means it helps to control mucus production. Iodine basically neutralizes certain chemicals that can cause the cells to die and helps to hydrate them. It makes us smarter. It can be used for wounds, for bed sores, inflammatory, traumatic pain, restoration of hair growth. It will apply topically. See, it's so important that it helps reverse so many different types of diseases. You know, this is what we have to understand. Now, our Health Masters product is a nascent iodine, which is the best you can get. It's a blend, and it's 12.5 milligrams, which is what you need. You need just one of those a day. You don't need micrograms of this. You need 12.5 milligrams a day. The vast majority of the nascent iodines out there have like micrograms. You're going to have to take like 30 of them to get the little bit they need. Ours is one capsule a day. I take it every day. Super, super important product, especially as you get older, to help regulate thyroid hormones, to help keep the body fat from accumulating. That's so important, guys. So many people call the office up. They've got thyroid problems. They got thyroid this, thyroid that. Remember, when you eat and drink chlorine and fluorine, right, and bromine in breads, when you do this, these are halogens, and the body thinks that these things are iodine, and it absorbs them, and they get stored in the thyroid, and it affects the thyroid functioning. So if you're drinking chlorinated water and fluorinated water, eating a bunch of bread with bromine, you're going to have a tendency to gain weight. It's just what happens. And I'm going to say something, too, real quick. I don't care if you have some organic bread every once in a while, but I'm going to tell you something as a former bodybuilder. You know, you can't eat bread and not get fat. I'm just telling you straight up. You can eat a little bit of it every once in a while, but you can't be sitting around eating 4 to 5, 6 pieces of bread every day and wondering why you're getting bigger and bigger in the hips and the waist. Just what happens with bread. I learned a long time ago, you got to be on a really good, clean diet. That's why we wrote the cookbook, Eat Clean and Be Healthy. Bread in moderation. I'm talking like once a month. Okay, it's okay. But you don't need to be having a piece of bread with every single meal, especially the bread that's not organic, that's soaked down in glyphosate. Oh, my gosh, guys, it tears the gut to pieces. I know my mother-in-law, Shirley, you know, she was going out and eating restaurants all the time. She always, you know, she was a Southern girl. She was raised in the South, always had to have a piece of bread. And she'd go to a steakhouse, have a piece of bread. She'd come in the next day, oh, my gut hurts so bad. My stomach hurts. Oh, I got acid reflux. I'm like, you got to stop drinking or eating foods that are contaminated with glyphosate. And she did. And so now she doesn't have those problems anymore. Guys, it's so important to understand that when you eat out in restaurants, you've got to ask. Let me tell you what happened to us on Saturday. We went over to the Biltmore Estate. We ate at a place called the Stable Restaurant. In fact, I met a good friend of mine, Tom, there, you hear, a few months ago, who's become a good friend. And what was interesting about this is I looked at the sweeteners on the table, and they had no aspartame and they had no sucralose on the table. So finally, I called the waiter over. I said, hey, where's the blue stuff and the yellow stuff? And he goes, oh, we won't put that on the table. He goes, our chefs say that that stuff is so toxic they won't serve it. We don't even have it in the restaurant.
Wow.
I'm like, whoa. And they had a little sweet and low there, which is okay in moderation as long as you drink a lot of water. Well, that's the stuff in the pink. And they had stevia on the table. They had packets of stevia and sugar in the raw. And I thought, wow. And I started asking them, and they said all the vegetables were organic. And, you know, the chicken's natural. There's no hormones. And I'm like, what the heck, man? Where'd this place come from? And then I had some pot roast and some beef brisket. And Sharon said, you really going to eat pot roast and beef brisket? So I said, well, yes, they're using non-organic non-hormone-filled food. I'm going to try it. And it was the best meal I've had in years. And he said, well, was it a healthy meal? It didn't have a bunch of chemicals in it. I wouldn't eat it all a lot. But I tell you what, it tasted great. It tasted great. And it's okay to do that in moderation. But, guys, ask the questions. What do you cook the French fries in? Which you shouldn't eat French fries anyhow. What do you cook them in? What do you cook the onion rings in? What do you cook this stuff in? What kind of oil do you use? Ask those questions, guys. And when you ask those questions, you're going to find out a lot of the stuff in restaurants you don't want. On Sunday or Saturday morning, I had breakfast at the hotel. And I asked them, I said, make sure you use real eggs, crack the eggs, and make sure you cook my omelet in real butter, not canola oil, real butter. And guys, they look at you kind of funny. But let me ask you a question. When you're in a hotel and you're having to pay for an omelet, shouldn't you kind of maybe want to tell them how to cook the omelet? You're paying for it. If they've got butter in the back, wouldn't you rather have butter than some type of mystery oil that's going to make it unbelievably bad for you? I mean, canola oil is bad. Soybean oil is bad. Corn oil is bad. You don't want any of that stuff in your body. And you got to think about it. If you put it in your body's got to get rid of it. And look at this, ladies. Let me ask you a question. Let's look at Crisco for a second. Let's look at shortening. Here's the irony with shortening. If you're cooking with shortening and you get it on your clothes while you're cooking, it's hard to get out if you can even get it out. Most of them have to throw those clothes away because they're permanently stained. If you can't get it out of your clothes, how are you supposed to get out of your arteries? Just a thought. Anyhow, I've pontificated long enough, Austin. What do you think? What's your next article?
No, and that's really well said on it, and that's the biggest thing everybody has to start doing is you have to start being more aware, asking questions of what you're eating, and just doing research on it. Start reading labels when you go to the store and buy stuff. I mean, Lana pretty much does most of the shopping now for food when she goes to Publix, but I mean, I've worked with her enough over the years, even back before we got married, and she was open-minded and coachable enough on it that, I mean, now what she brings home is exactly what I need to eat, so I don't have to worry about it anymore, really, which is quite nice. It's a blessing. Be honest with you, but there's sometimes you may not have that option. You may have to go out and do it yourself to really figure out what's going on. And Dad nailed it on the head. Bread, I'm telling you right now, there, in my opinion, there is no useful purpose to eat bread whatsoever. I'm pretty stingy with my food as far as I'm very, very picky about what I put in my body just because I try to stay as lean as possible. But there's just no useful purpose for bread. If you're trying to say, well, I'm eating bread because I want some extra carbs, go eat some organic rice if you want some fast digesting carbs. I mean, or go eat some yams. You know, don't eat bread. There's just really no useful purpose. And people are, well, I need to eat a sandwich. If you want to get a sandwich, go get some organic wraps then. Half the time the organic wraps are a minute amount of calories compared to the bread, especially if you get some of the real thin, small ones, and if you want to make a sandwich out of it. But in reality as well, why do you have to make a sandwich out of it? What are you putting on it? Are you putting turkey and your chicken or lettuce? Why don't you just make some grilled turkey or grilled chicken with some green beans and some brown rice? Now you've just replaced probably a very similar caloric makeup, but you're not eating the bread. And a lot of people say, you know, well, the gluten, I'm sensitive to gluten. Listen, people have eaten wheat for thousands of years. This is not an abnormal compound to eat. But what's happened is now the glyphosate has contaminated almost every single bread product, and that's not an exaggeration. You can see a lot of the independent reports now where they've gone in and assayed a lot of these bread companies, even ones that have been organic, and they still are showing contamination with glyphosate. Reason why is because the wheat, in most cases, especially if it's not organic, in every case, it's sprayed with glyphosate 3 days before they harvest it as a desiccant to dry it out so they can harvest it easier and then basically, you know, run the crops, trash the crops that are left, get rid of everything and start over. So in most cases, even stuff that's certified organic, it's been contaminated, whether it be basically windfall, wherever it is, it's got contaminated at some point, and that's why you see bread, even organic bread, sometimes even organic oatmeal, and it has glyphosate in it. Now, in most cases, it's not nearly as high. You look at some of the box shelf retail, just regular bread, Wonder Whites, that kind of stuff. Oh, man, it's contaminated with more glyphosate. And the one that I was really disappointed with when they did restaurants was Papa John's Pizza. Papa John's Pizza had a ton of glyphosate in their dough. Pizza Hut, surprisingly, actually had the least amount, if I'm not mistaken, which is really surprising. Now, again, that can vary depending on the batch of dough they got. That's very, very, that's plausible. I mean, you could have a batch of dough that came in from one company or another company or switch companies. But again, when you start seeing it, that glyphosate is so hard on the gut, and that's when so many people come in there, oh, I'm so sensitive to gluten. You may be sensitive to gluten, but you're probably more sensitive the glyphosate than you are gluten. And if you cut out everything that can possibly have glyphosate in it and you go full organic, you're probably going to have a lot better health, you know, overall than you would if you're still eating out all the time. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, from a monetary standpoint, the return on investment, going out and eating out makes no legitimate sense whatsoever. And I'm not saying I don't go out and eat out, you know, maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, sometimes we'll go out on a date. But going out and eating dinner, eating lunch, going out to restaurants, you know, time, it is one of the biggest waste of money in anybody's budget system. If you sit down and you break down dollar for dollar everything you spend every month and you go out to eat on a regular basis, you will see that going out to eat is the largest waste of money that you can spend. You look at an average, I think if I'm not mistaken, average American spends $600 a month going out to eat. That does not include their at-home food budget. That is just going out to restaurants and eating lunch and dinner on a regular basis. And then you look and you take that money that you could have been spending it, you know, basically at home, going to the store, buying organic chicken, buying organic rice, buying broccoli, buying green beans, buying whatever it is as far as from a healthy standpoint, and then you start looking, even when you buy organic, how much food you can start buying for $500 and $600 a month, and that's not even tying into the budget of what you're already spending on food for the home. So be very aware of that. Somebody sent me a link yesterday. It was kind of a disturbing video. I watched about 2 minutes of it, but it was just so disgusting. It made me nauseous, to be honest with you. It was another one of these shows on, you know, my big, fat, horrible 700-pound life. And they're following this girl. She's like 38 years old, and she's got to be 650 pounds. And I mean, so disgustingly obese. It was just disgusting. Can't fit into the bathroom. Can't fit into the bathroom anymore because she is so big. So she basically has a portlet in her bedroom. And she has two kids, surprisingly. And her mom is living with her. Her mom's, you know, obese, but probably, you know, 250 pounds, not 650 pounds. And the girl starts crying because she can't get into the bathroom to get her son out of the bathtub. And you know, I was watching it, and I just got more and more grossed out. And I'm sitting there thinking the fact that the disturbing fact to me is not just the fact that this lady is this obese. It's the fact that she made it on national television on a TV show for being this disgustingly obese that people actually watch this and probably feel sorry for it. She's sitting there going, I don't know, there's nothing I can do about this. And then in the next scene, they're showing her eating like a double XL beef pepperoni sausage pizza with like a whole tub of ice cream. And then she's saying this is how she copes with life, is eating. And I mean, she's probably honestly, realistically, to maintain and continue building that weight, you got to be eating probably anywhere 10 to 15,000 calories a day. I mean, there's no way plausible to maintain that weight on any less than that. And, you know, I thought about it. I thought, you know, if she just went on a normal, like, 2,000 calorie a day diet for a month, you know, she'd probably lose 30, 40, 50 pounds. A lot of that being, you know, basically fecal matter because she was so insanely huge. But again, look at what's going on. Stop this whole, I can't do anything about it. There's nothing I can do about it. Sure you can. There's always something you can do about it. If you're doing the things you've been doing to get to where you are, change what you're doing now to make results different. If you're eating bread and you're drinking water with fluoride and you're having thyroid issues, cut it out. Go on the thyroid support and the iodine. If you're having issues with your weight, cut out bread, cut out pasta, cut out pizza. Switch over, even if you don't want to go completely carb-free, go on a good low-calorie or low-carbohydrate diet with, you know, some brown rice for some carbs, you know, some eggs or some organic oatmeal. You don't have to make it difficult, and it doesn't have to taste bad. Most of the food I eat, people are surprised when I make food for them because most of my food tastes really good. Dad taught me when I was younger how to make some incredible eggs, incredible omelets, and everything else. You can make food taste really good, even eating really clean. You just have to sit down and take the time to do so. And that's why we built the book together for years, to Eat Clean and Be Healthy. That, I mean, everybody, I get so much positive feedback on that because we took the recipes that we personally eat and we put them together over multiple years into a very concise, clean format so people can look at them and use them. And that's exactly why we do what we do here at Health Masters, Dad.
You know, Austin, it was collaboration. And, you know, it's so funny. My claim to fame are eggs. I can boil an egg perfectly. I can make perfect egg salad. I can make perfect omelet. I can't. I can make perfect scrambled eggs. I used to make the kids cheesy eggs when they were young. And the key with eggs is you don't overcook them. You don't want to overcook them because you denature the protein. They got to be a little bit soft still. And you think, well, I like them dry. Well, they're not going to taste very good, and they're not going to be very good for you, and they need to be organic. But eggs are a great, great staple. I want to end my little segment here this morning with some verses of the Bible, because we cover this all the time, but we don't really go back to the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. The Nephilim were on the earth. This is the fallen angel group and their progeny in those days and afterwards as well, which means they were before and after the flood, when the sons of God had relations with the daughters of men. These are the sons of God. These are the fallen ones. And they bore with them children who became the mighty men of old and renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. And now listen, friends, and that every inclination, every thought, and every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were altogether evil all of the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, that he was grieved in his heart. Then we had the flood. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Matthew 24:37. As it was, this is Christ talking, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24:37. Luke, that means it's going to be back to the evil again with every thought. Luke 17:26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day with the return of the Son of Man. Romans, that's what we quote it twice in Matthew and in Luke. Romans 1:28. Furthermore, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, he gave them up to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. 1 Peter 3:20. Who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built? In the ark, a few people, only 8 souls were saved. Genesis 8:21. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. And what's interesting, he also says, even though every inclination of his heart was evil from his youth. This is when we were under full Nephilim control, full energy field control over the planet. Even from youth, they were evil all of the time. Wow. I mean, think about what God's saying in these verses. In Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 18:20-21, and the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. But guys, think about this. Think about what's going on with 5G. Think about the coming of the third temple and the rebuilding of that. In Thessalonians, it says the Antichrist is going to announce himself from the third temple. Think about all of the things that are happening around us and realize that God is still in control. He knows what's going to happen. Prayer changes things, and that we are sanctified by the blood of the Lamb through our relationship with Jesus Christ. People say, well, doesn't this stuff stress you out? And I go, no, not really. They go, why not? I said, it doesn't make any difference. I know how the story ends. Because I've accepted Christ and I know who I am through Christ Jesus, it doesn't make any difference what these clowns want to do in this world. I'm not of this place. If these guys want to have a big abortion party, like they were talking about praising abortion with all these singers, I don't buy their albums. I'm not part of that group. I don't listen to their music. The other day I was listening to a song, Austin. I was pumping gas. I got so fed up with it, I asked Sharon to go in and tell the people at the counter to turn off the doggone music at the gas pumps. And it was talking about how the people wanted to sin and continue in sin. It talked about this in the song. And I thought to myself, wow, depravity, it never seems to end. So guys, keep your hearts and your minds focused on Jesus. He's the author, he's the finisher, he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who threw the cross, which is foolishness to men. They don't understand it because they don't understand the light of the gospel. He's the one who fixed it for all of us through his blood and through his power. Guys, I love you. Thanks so much for your support. Thanks for listening. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And remember, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. I love you guys. I haven't had a chance to pray this morning. I'm going to pray in just a few minutes, and I'm going to pray for you guys. You guys are absolutely awesome. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Austin. I'll do the write-up.
Yes, guys, thank you again for the continued support of everything. If you need anything, be sure to call us. I've told you guys before, we do have the body balm with the specialty oil in it. I have that back in stock now. Again, I do not have it up on the website. I still should have the merchant service account working by the end of the week with a new company. So if you guys need anything with our specialty oils in it, whether it be the droppers or the body balm, be sure to give us a call up, and we'll be happy to take care of you on that. Also, to the normal magnesium body balm is on sale still as product of the week for over 20% off, so be sure to check that out as well at healthmasters.com. Lots of different specials going on, and be sure if you need anything, regular price products, HR5, that's the 5% Hagman Report code 5. I went ahead and made sure that was all updated again and working perfectly. So thank you again for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.